My name is Paul Lee. I am 28 years old. Today is Saturday, February 9th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Ramiro Detralia, who is my uncle. We are recording this interview in Utica, New York. What was your childhood like? And especially, what was your neighborhood like in your area where you were growing up?
All right, my neighborhood was, I come from East Utica, which is, at the time when I was growing up, was very Italian. It was an Italian center of Utica. I lived very impoverished. It was a very impoverished community. But however, it was quiet. There was never much trouble on the street itself. You know, families were close together. Just like I'm saying, it's a very impoverished place.
Oh, so did you live your whole life in the Utica area?
No, I lived till I was about, oh geez, well, at 14. I mean, do you really want to know my life story here?
Of course, that's the whole point of this.
Okay, my life story is, all right, so when I was born, my father had left when I was 5 years old. So I had no father figure in my life, so I pretty much was a troubled child as I was growing up. I stayed in Utica, I went to Wetmore School, which was just around the corner from me where I lived on Catherine Street. Catherine and Wetmore was the name of the street I was on, but Wetmore School was the school that I went to. And while I was there, I was a troubled child. I was always into trouble, always fighting, always arguing, always looking for trouble. When I got about 11 years old, I was considered, because my mother could no longer handle me, and my father was gone, and he just wasn't there for me. My mother couldn't handle me no more. My stepfather, who my mother was seeing when my father was gone, was very abusive, physically and mentally, very abusive to me. And I got it out through just being a bad kid, just being a tough kid. Hold on one second. So
how would you say that the neighborhood in Utica has changed, especially how has your perspective of the Utica community changed since you were going through that difficult time as a child?
Okay, honestly, at age 11, I was taken away from home, and I was put into a boys' home from 11 to 16 years old. So I don't know what it really turned into, because I never been back down to East Utica. I don't even live in East Utica today. I live in New Hartford, New York. When I got out of the homes at 16 years old, I was again in trouble. I had gotten hung out with a lot of bad kids, and I did a lot of bad things. When I finally met my wife, Emily, that's pretty much when my world started to turn around. I started to think, seeing the better things in life. And for many years, Emily and I were just on top of the world. I felt better as a person. She made me feel worthwhile. And I really did a lot of good things in my life since then. I'm kind of like, I don't know. It's so hard to give my life span, because I don't know if haven't gotten to that part yet, but I'm diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
So I want to talk about that. I know that a really important part of your life story is your daily struggle with multiple sclerosis, but I wonder, what's the most important thing about your life other than multiple sclerosis? What do you think, if a bigger perspective on your life, you're not just your disease, you're so much more, and what do you think is most important to know about you and your whole history, besides the fact that you have multiple sclerosis and struggle with that daily?
Well, I think a good thing to know about me is that I'm not that person when I was younger. I had grown out of that. I found God, and God is my savior, and he's helped me work through a lot of situations in my life. But now I'm a very positive person. I'm a very outgoing person. I got nothing good nothing bad to say about anybody. I like to help out. I like to encourage others. I like to be there for other people, you know. And that's who I am today.
So did you mostly keep to yourself when you were younger, or did you only learn to be outgoing as you became older and you met my aunt and you started to, you know, develop as a person? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say, you know, from 16 years old, you know, I developed into the man that I am today. Although there was many trials and tribulations that I went through and took my wife through also. That's a whole nother story. But I feel that, you know, I bettered myself.
Oh.
What was the main question? I'm sorry.
Well, I was wondering, well, I think that is the answer to the question. You say that you better yourself, and I think that is the important thing to know about you, that you've struggled through many things in your life, but you have bettered yourself through all of your battles. And, of course, one of the major battles of your life is the fact that you have multiple sclerosis, and you said you were diagnosed with that, what, 20 years ago now?
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 1997. It was January 1997, and I was just leaving someplace, you know, and I was coming home. I had been away for a little while, and I was coming home, and I was to marry Emily in March of the same year, March 14th, 1997, but got diagnosed in January 1997 with multiple sclerosis. At that time, I didn't know nothing really about multiple sclerosis. I knew that I read the encyclopedia, and it scared the hell out of me. It really did. But you know what? I mean, now over the years it has changed. It's a bad disease, but there is medicines for it. And so my life was pretty scary in 97 when I got diagnosed with the disease, because here I am, I'm about to get married, you know, and this disease, you know, from what I read about it, is crippling, you know. And 21 years later today, I'm still walking. I'm walking hard with a cane, but, you know, many years ago I was told that, you know, I was going to be in a wheelchair, and I'm not.
So, can you tell me something that I probably don't understand about your experience of living with MS?
Well, it's hard to explain MS because of the cognitive abilities that I suffer from, but I would say one of the main things you probably don't know about is, or most people don't know about, is when a person looks at me, you know, they see me as I look pretty good. I'm healthy looking, you know, I'm a healthy looking guy. I don't look like I have a disease.
Yeah, you could be on the picture of the magazine, you know, the best dressed guy with MS or something.
Yeah, yeah, funny. But really, I mean, you know, the worst thing, what's going on underneath all of that is that I'm in constant pain. I'm constantly depressed. I'm constantly pushed away from people. But at the same time, because of my positive attitude, I draw closer to people. But I guess people don't see the pain that I'm in, you know, and the struggles that I have to go through, you know, the daily living of getting up, getting dressed, taking my shower. My energy is, by this time, it's 4 o'clock at tonight, and I'm here with Paulie, and this time at night, I'm usually dead to the wind. I'm like all done. So usually, but the first couple of hours of waking up, I got energy. I can do a few things, you know. But overall, I deal with a lot of pain, a lot of confusion, a lot of strife, a lot of stress. I'm constantly stressed out, you know, wondering what people are thinking about me. What I'm missing, you know, I am so saddened by the fact that I'm 48 years old and can't do the things that a 48-year-old can. It's hard to put that together. It's hard to work through that every day. You know, I want to be healthy. I want, you know, before I got diagnosed with MS, I was a mason. You know what I mean? I was a hard-working man. I worked at slaughterhouses. I used to cut down trees. I did a lot of things. I used to build houses, foundations, everything. And this disease has held me from that. And that's the struggle.
I wonder if you could make it so that people would see your pain when they looked at you. Would you want people to know about your pain?
You know, I actually, that's a hard question, Paulie, because I don't want people to see me as somebody in pain. I don't want to be, if I wanted to be really known as somebody in pain, then I wouldn't dress up, comb my hair, you know, go out, wash my face, you know. But I just, I don't know how anymore to say. I don't want nobody to see me for who, what MS really is. So I put on this this face for society.
Oh, so what do you think enables you to get up in the morning every day and then work so hard to keep this face for society and keep it going, even though you also feel a little bit, you know, misunderstood when people don't see your pain? What do you think gives you the ability to do that?
I think that's, you know, that's the easiest question, Paulie. Thanks. I mean, what keeps me going is you, your family, people like you, my nephew, and my son. Ultimately, my son. My son gets me up every day. He makes me go to the hockey games. Not, you know, I mentally have to do this. I go to the hockey games. I go to his baseball games. I go to his soccer games. I go to his MMA. I am very involved in my son. And that, I think, is what really gets me going. You know, really keeps me wanting to do better. And my wife, Emily, is dear to me. She's everything that I could ever want. I mean, she's a role model. She's positive. She's everything, you know. And of course, ultimately, it all comes down to my love of Christ.
You talked a lot about the activities you do daily with your son Romero, right? Romero Jr.
Junior.
So, that's a part of your daily life, a big part of it. But another part of your life, a pretty regular part of your life, is your medical appointments and stuff like that. You've obviously been in and out and all around the medical system. And so I wonder, how hard has it been to navigate the medical system, to access information about treatments and to decide what to do and all of that?
Well, see, now that is, if you were to ask me this and I didn't have Emily in my life, I would say I couldn't answer this. But what happens is my wife, she navigates everything. She navigates the appointments, the doctors. She navigates the equipment that I may need. She knows everything in and out about MS, even more so than I. The only thing is she doesn't have MS, and thank God for that. You know, she has me, and that's enough. But I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't do none of that stuff myself, Paulie. That's all your Aunt Emily and her love for me. To do with all the things that she does for me, because, oh my God, Paulie, it's not easy being me with MS. I am a son of a bitch sometimes, you know, but she gets it all. She knows when I need the medication. She knows when I need to see a doctor. She knows when I'm not feeling good, and she knows what to do. So
how does Emily get the information when there's a new medication or a new treatment that you should try?
Well, Emily is a research hound. And anytime there's anything, she's on a computer all the day. My wife is, by the way, brilliant. But she's on a computer all the time, and she's always looking up anything to do with MS. And she knows exactly what is going out, what is out there, what is going to be out here in a few years, what is I may tolerate. So it's her research and what she does on the computer that helps me.
So you have a pretty good relationship with doctors and with the medical staff, and you can talk to them pretty freely and have a conversation about where you want to go with your treatments and such like that?
Yes, definitely. Definitely have that relationship. My primary doctor is the best. My neurologists are the best. And Emily has that communication skill where I agree with everything she says, and I want to say everything she says, but she says it clearly. And it's like she's like a doctor to a doctor. She's really, really good. So, yeah, I'm happy at where I am right now with MS.
So what kind of technology has helped you in your day-to-day life? Not like the medical equipment, but including medical equipment that you have at home, all of the things at home in your day-to-day life. What is the best technology to help you live a better life and a more fuller life?
Well, there's a lot of technology out there that I'm not privy to because it's expensive, but I do use a cane daily. I've been using the cane now for about 2 years straight. It helps with my balance. It helps keep me going. It helps make it a little bit easier to walk. But I also wear an AFO, and that is for my drop foot, or a brace on my leg, which helps me from my bend from my ankle bending over sideways. So that's what I use to keep myself moving. I also, you know, when I'm not walking or doing something, I'm downstairs, and you know, I have a little area downstairs that I stay down, and I have a bike down there now, and I ride the bike to strengthen my muscles. That's pretty much the equipment that I use. That's it. I mean, there's so many other, there's a lot of machines out there that could help me, but they just cost too much money, and I'm not a rich person.
So you have a lot of a physical effort to maintain yourself as well as an emotional effort. So do you think that they balance each other out, the physical and the emotional effort? Are they about the same difficulty to go through the physical pain and to be disciplined to exercise? And obviously sometimes you fall and things like that and you get hurt. And then, of course, the emotional pain of people not understanding, and that the fact that you have so much pain and everything you're going through, do you think it balances out from day to day, or is it different?
I don't know. You know, the thing about people, I'm at the point in my disease and as far along where I don't know how to say, to care what other people think of me at this moment. But when I'm out there doing stuff, I do feel, you know, off balance. I look like a handicapped penguin, you know, when I'm walking, and that's you can't help that. I forgot where I was.
No, that's very good. That's a good answer to my question. And what I'm wondering with all of this, I wonder if you feel that you're making a deliberate choice to fight hard against your circumstances.
I really do. I believe that I'm fighting hard against this disease. But there, you know, I do. I get up every day. I work out every day. I think I'm doing pretty good. You know, I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yes, and I'm very proud of you and for your example of perseverance. I wonder, has this experience of fighting MS daily changed the way you approach other problems since before you had the diagnosis?
Huh. Now that is a good question, and it's a great, I got an answer. You know, it's, since I've had this disease in 1997, in 1996 I had found the Lord, and I believe through that, and now dealing with MS, using the Lord as my foothold, I believe it's helped me, you know, move along and fight. And I forgot the question.
No, that was the question. I wanted to know if it had given you a new perspective on your problems and your hardships. And obviously, it's been a massively hard thing. But I wonder if you think, and you are answering this right, that if it has also been a good thing in little ways, even though it has been massively a horrible thing and a terrible thing, and there's no doubt about that, it is absolutely a terrible thing. Has it been anything sort of accidentally good about it?
I could say, you know, I learned a lot about people. I learned to really understand and care for other people that are suffering from disabilities. I even worked for New York State in the office of some mentally retarded and physically disabled individuals, and I took care of them. So I got a good heart from this disease. I mean, I just, you know, God says you got it, and now you have to live it, and I'm going to be there for you. And it's not going to be easy, but I think if anything good comes out of MS, it's that I have Christ, and I have my wife, and I have my son, and I have a wonderful family that care about me. So it has brought me closer to the people that I love, this disease. So that could be that's a good thing about the disease. So
it sounds like you're not angry then. You would not say that you're angry, that this has been your lot in life?
No, I'm not angry. It's an everyday feeling situation. I'm sad, but I'm not angry. I mean, what's the point of being angry? There's nothing I can do about it, so I have to play my cards.
So you persevere.
I persevere. That's a good word. I persevere with the love of my family and with the love of Christ.
And would you say that perseverance is worth experiencing pain?
You know what? I mean, you know, to become a better person, I think we have to go through some painful times, you know, whether it's physically or mentally. I mean, if you want to persevere, then persevering also comes with a lot of pain. at least in my life. So I do think that.
Thank you, Uncle. I've never known anyone else who has inspired me to never give up in my life in the same way as you. So thank you so much for your time. Is there anything you wanted to say?
Nah, man. I just, you know, I love you, and I wish I could have been clearer for you. But that's about...
You're perfect, Uncle. You're the best. Thanks
right.
so much.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
All right. So now you, what do you do?